Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music today. What a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord. I trust that you feel the very same way. We pray all week long that this would be a place of refuge for not only our church family, but for all who would come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And for that to take place, you have to sense the presence of God in this place. And I trust that you already have done that. And then what a blessing to be involved in singing praises through congregational singing and also through the special music. It's been a blessing. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, I believe this is where God would have us to be this morning. Now, if you weren't here for Sunday school, let me encourage you to plan on coming for Sunday school at 10 a.m. Here at the church. All the adult classes are in a series we just started this morning going through the articles of faith. I think it's very important that as believers we know what we believe and why we believe it, what it's based upon. It's not based upon the philosophies of man, but it has to be based upon what God has left for us, and that is His Word, the very Word of God. And we studied that this morning. We'll be going through the articles of faith, and I think it'd be very helpful to you. And so plan on coming out at 10 o'clock for the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour. I think it'll be a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you'll stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 11. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, in verse chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we thank you for this is another opportunity just to be in church. And we do thank you, Father, for what we've already received today. But God, as we are a needy people, we need all that you have for us. And so I pray now that you would just meet with us in a very special way. I pray that you'd give each one here that ear to hear what you have to say to them individually as well as to us collectively. And I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look here in this first half of this chapter of 3 of 1 Corinthians, we find that Paul is writing to the Corinthians church, and his desire was for them to be growing in their faith. He's writing to the church. That means the church is made up of born-again believers, those that had been saved. And so his desire was for those to be growing in their faith. Many of them were not. As we find a record of this in chapter 3, they were divided over who was the greater, Paul or Apollos. And what a carnal argument. And sometimes it's amazing what the old devil will use to get people off course instead of growing in their faith, but being more concerned about things that should not be concerning. They should not be thinking about. But yet we find that they were divided in the church. They were divided over this. Who was greater, Paul or Apollos? Now, verse 9, Paul gives the right answer to them. In verse 9, it says, "For we are laborers together." Now, he had said in verse 8 that they were both one. They had different positions, and God was using them in different ways, and they were one. But he says, we, Paul and Apollos, are laborers together with God. And then he addressed them again. He says, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The right answer is, we're laboring together for you. You're God's building. And God has given to us that which you need to build. And what both Paul and Apollos were doing was helping them to grow in their faith. Both Paul and Apollos, and God had brought both of them into the Corinthian church to address the believers at Corinth so that they could be able to grow in their own individual faith in God. Now, he reveals that this all begins with the foundation, and the foundation that no one else can lay, but that has already been laid to be able to be the God's building is the foundation. There has to be a foundation to build upon, and that foundation is salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Cannot be God's building. You cannot be a child of God's without the foundation being laid, without salvation being a part of your life. You have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Now in verse 10 he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder." Now he's not talking about the carpentry. He's talking about building lives. He's talking about helping people to come to the understanding and the faith in Jesus Christ. And then after they get saved, to help build them into the building that God wants them to be. And so he says, "I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed." It's very important that we are aware of how he buildeth thereupon, how we are growing, what we are looking to as being truth. And again, this morning in Sunday school, understanding what we believe and why we believe it has to be based upon the very words of God, has to be based upon the Bible, which is the final authority. And so it all begins with the foundation, which is salvation through Jesus Christ. But then after salvation, it is God's will for all believers to be fed spiritual food so that they might grow in their faith. We grow physically as we eat physical food. And we will grow spiritually as we feed upon spiritual food. And so that's why Paul addresses them in verses 1 and 2. And he says, "And I, brethren," he says, "I'm here and could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." I've come to try to help build you and to give you the meat of the scriptures where you might be able to grow in your faith. And I've come so that for the spiritual purpose of helping you to grow, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He wasn't able to feed them this meat because they had not grown or they had been taking on the wrong information. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye, now are ye able." So Paul and Apollos were sent there by God to help them grow. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. That's a good place to say amen. Okay, it really is. I like to eat. As I was being raised, my mother and father both used to cook. Dad at one time had done some cooking at restaurants. He had been a chef at one point. He worked at Ford Motor Company for the most part, but he had a lot of other things that he was involved in. But one of the things my dad loved to do is my dad loved to cook. And so mom used to cook and dad used to cook. I think they tried to outdo one another. But what that did, that developed in me a desire for good food because both of them were good cooks. And that means to me good food is meat and potatoes. Amen. I don't know about you, what you think and what you might have been raised to believe in being good food, but I was raised to believe that good food was just meat and potatoes. I mean, breakfast time, you had meat and potatoes, amen. You had good sausage, and don't try to take the grease off of it. That's what makes it good, amen. good bacon, you know, good bacon, and not turkey bacon and all the chicken bacon and whatever kind of bird bacon. It is good hog bacon, amen. And bacon and eggs and potatoes. We had potatoes for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Potatoes is a good all-around substance, amen. It's good for breakfast. It's good for those hash browns, amen, to go along with that meat and that bacon or sausage and those eggs. I mean, that's good eating. My mom used to cook a great breakfast, and Dad used to cook. And I'm telling you, they developed in me a desire for good food. When we first got married, my wife asked me, said, "What do you want for breakfast?" I mean, this is the first morning. And I said, "Oh, biscuits and gravy." Nothing like gravy, amen? I mean, good, wholesome gravy. Just good food. And I could tell a puzzled look on her face, and she was gone for about an hour. And I went in there, and she's almost in tears. The one thing she had not prepared to make was gravy. And I had to teach my wife how to make gravy, because I had learned, because when I moved out, I had been used to eating good food, and so I had to learn how to prepare good food if I was going to eat it. I learned the seasoning, all that. And so in the very beginning of our marriage, the first morning, I helped her to know how to make breakfast, make gravy. Now, since that time, she had dedicated herself to become a good cook, and there's not a better cook than my wife today. Amen. But she determined, and she makes a mean gravy. She really does. But she determined that she was going to learn how to cook and learn how to cook the things that I like. Good food. Good food. One of the things that we look forward to every day is sitting down to the dinner table. Something that we both enjoy now is eating. And so one of the things that we enjoy doing is talking about, you know, what are we going to have? We're sitting at the breakfast table. What are we going to have for lunch? And what are we going to have for dinner? And usually now it's just two meals a day. I'm not the three meals. We'll have a breakfast, and we'll have one major main meal in the afternoon. We'll talk about what we're going to have or what she's going to make or whatever it is. But it's a time that we are excited about coming together and sitting down and enjoying a nice meal together. Can I tell you that God wants us to have that very same desire concerning spiritual food? He really does. Matter of fact, God sends pastors to feed his sheep, and he wants the flock to desire it. He wants us to desire what God has for us to feed on. You know, if you're a cook, then you are preparing food for whoever it is that you're preparing for, and you want them to enjoy it. You want them to look forward to it. In 1 Peter chapter 5, let me just read to you a few verses here, because I want you to see it is God's plan. This is what God's doing. He sent Paul and Apollos to Corinth to help them so that they might grow in their faith. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this: the elders, and the elders which are the pastors, also as elder, it's referred to as elders and bishops, but the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. This is Paul or Peter writing here. Feed the flock of God. He's telling those that are going to have opportunity to prepare a meal, a spiritual meal, that you feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage. See, you're not feeding them what you want to feed them. You're feeding them what God has for them, because they're not yours. They're God's sheep. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, a living example. Make sure that you're living what you preach. And verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd, that's Jesus Christ, he's the chief shepherd, We are the under-shepherds, those that are teaching and preaching the Word of God and helping others to grow in their faith. We're the under-shepherds, but Jesus is the sheep, chief shepherd. Ye shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. He has devised a reward for those that are faithful to feed the sheep of God, the food that God wants them to eat. Praise the Lord for that. In the book of Acts in chapter 20, let me just read this to you. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and verse 29. The Bible says this, as Paul was getting ready to leave, he brought the elders, the pastors together, and he said this in verse 28, take heed therefore unto your own selves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus purchased the church. He purchased the believers and he's laid the foundation. And once you have received Jesus and the foundation has been laid, we need to make sure that we build upon that according to the very words of God. For I know this, he says, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. I think that's why in John in chapter 21, before Jesus would ascend into heaven, he met with Peter. He knew that Peter was going to be one of the premier preachers of the day. He knew that he would be able to bring the Word of God out in such a way that the people would be impacted by the preaching of the Word of God. And so before he would leave, he addressed Peter in John chapter 21, verse 15. He says this, and when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, hey, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto them, feed my lambs. What was on Christ's mind was the church. What was on Christ's mind was those that would receive him as Savior, and they would become babes or lambs, which are infant sheep. And he said unto him again, the second night, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? If you love me, you're going to do this. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Simon, you can't please me. You can't do anything more for me than first of all doing what I've called you to do. Feed my sheep. Make sure that you're giving them good food. He saith unto him the third time. He wanted to make sure he got this across. He saith unto them the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. I think it's very important to God that when people get saved, that they have the right food on the table so they can grow in their faith. Yeah. Isaiah, this is nothing new even to the New Testament. In the book of Isaiah, I write these verses down if you like, but Isaiah chapter 55, I love what Isaiah writes, a prophet Isaiah, prophesying the very words of God. In Isaiah chapter 55, listen to this. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, can't purchase spiritual food with money. He that hath no money, come. Come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, but wine and milk without money. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. It's a gift of God. God wants you to have this. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is no bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me and eat. Eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Come looking for good food and delight in it. Incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Then in verse 6 he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I send it. Isn't that powerful? This is a great passage of scripture. And Isaiah was one of the prophets of God, and God had placed in his mouth what he was to feed the people of God. And in prophecy, helping us to see that God wants us to be fed likewise. What a blessing. Well, if you go back to our text, Paul knew he was sent there by God to do just that. Apollos knew that he was sent there by God to do just that, to feed the flock of God. And they were more concerned about who was the greatest. They were focused on so many other things, and they had lost sight of holding on to that which they had been fed and feeding upon what God has sent to them through Apollos. It would have been something was from God, but it would have been different than what Paul had been brought there to feed to them, what God had told Paul to feed them. Paul says, no, we're both into the same thing. We're both one. We're laborers together. We have come here with this one purpose, and that is for you to be able to help you to grow in your faith. Paul would tell them, without spiritual meat, this is what would happen. Become carnal. He said, I, brethren, he came to preach to them spiritual meat, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. That's saying that they're saved. They're saved, but they're acting like little babies. I have fed you with milk. All babies need milk to start with, and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. And as carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And walk as men. See, without spiritual meat, carnality will enter in. What is that? The carnal means of the flesh. And not necessarily lost, but living as a lost man. Living as someone that does not have Christ living inside of them. It's like without spiritual food, we will become what we were. Outside of salvation, listen to me, you're carnal. You have no spiritual, nothing spiritual within inside of you to live as God would have you to live. We're going to live according to the flesh. We're going to live according to what my desires are and what the flesh wants, a lust of the eyes, a lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We're going to live that way. But when you get saved, then you have that which is a new nature, that which is spiritual that comes in. But if you're not feeding that spiritual side of you, that spiritual man, then you will revert back to what you were. And that's carnal. That's what they had done. They become what they were. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, 6 that person is identified now as children of disobedience. You're a child of God, but you're not living as a child of God. You're living in disobedience. And the judgment of God, the chastisement of God, comes down upon the children of disobedience. Carnality without spiritual meat, carnality leads to what it says in verse 3 there, envying and strife and divisions. Even though we're saved, if we're not growing, if we are not feeding on spiritual meat, we'll deal with things through a carnal mind. That, and when you deal with things with a carnal mind, especially in the church, you're going to find divisions. You're going to find envyings and strifes. In the book of Romans in chapter 8, Romans in chapter 8 and verse 7 and 8, it says this. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we are not coming to the supper, if we do not have a desire to come to the supper table of God, if we do not have a desire to take on that spiritual meat so that we might grow in our faith, we might grow in our new man. Listen to me. If we are not receiving that spiritual food that God has for us, we're going to, it's going to revert back to what we were in our actions, and we will live a carnal life. Even though we have the opportunity, because we have the foundation of Christ in us, it will not be an when you get saved, it does not mean automatically that you're going to live a spiritual life. It means that you have an opportunity to live a spiritual life. Just like when you get born, it doesn't mean that you're going to continue to live and grow. Means that you have, now you have physical life, you have opportunity to continue to live and to grow. But what do you have to do in order to do that physically? One thing that all life has in common has to have a food source. No matter what the life is, all life has one thing in common. There has to be a food source. When the food source runs out, that life will die. Become extinct. That's true. That baby, if that baby does not eat, and that's one of the worries that we had, and we was raising the children, whenever they get sick and they would have a fever, they wouldn't want to eat. They wouldn't want to drink. And we knew if they did not drink, they would become dehydrated. If they did not eat, they would not have the strength to be able to call upon, to be able to fight off whatever's there. And you're trying to force liquids down, and you're trying to force food down. And the baby doesn't understand it, but the baby's got his mouth shut and wants to spit it out. Says, I don't want it. I don't feel like it. But you know, if you don't, you're going to die. That's exactly how it is in your spiritual life. You can't lose salvation, but you can die to your spiritual life. You can revert back to a carnal life. And if you're reverting back to a carnal life, can I tell you the reason you're reverting back to a carnal life is because you're not feeding upon the Word of God. You're not having the right food that's going to help the spiritual life to grow. That's exactly what it is. So Paul's telling them, you're carnal. I come, God sent me here, and I have some meat for you, but you're not ready and you're not looking to enjoy the meat because you're focused on the carnal side of things and you're turning away from the meat of the Scriptures. Apollos came for the same reason. Listen to me. Look forward to opportunities that God brings into your life for you to feed upon the spiritual food of God. Without the spiritual food, the spiritual life will either remain in infancy stage or it will completely die out and you'll revert back to carnality. And with the carnal life, God is going to judge. So, because in the flesh we can't please God. So we find here that Paul was sent to feed and he wanted them to know that. Without spiritual food, without that spiritual meat, you revert back to what you were. With spiritual meat, what happens when we have and we feed upon the spiritual meat that God has for us? Look back to our text. Look back to our text. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. But can I tell you, that's exactly what Paul wanted to do. Paul wanted to feed them the meat, but they would have to be spiritually minded. They would have to understand that I'm sitting down for a spiritual food. I'm sitting down to enjoy a meal with the Lord. Every time you come to church, I trust that you look forward to sitting down and enjoying a spiritual meal with the Lord. I trust that, and that's why I tell you every Sunday, I ask you a few things there. Know why you're here. Amen. Who it is that you come to worship. Ask God to speak to you. Open up your heart and your mind to whatever God has for you. It's so important because that's what we do. That's one of the most important things that we do is we assemble together as God's church. Paul understood that. Apollos understood that. I'm coming there, and God sent me there because God knows what you have need of, and I have spiritual food for you, and I can't give it to you because you're not open to it. You're all focused on who's greater. Why would you let that keep you from feasting upon the very words of God? Amen. That's a good question to ask. What is it that occupies your mind when the preacher is preaching? Work? Family? What we're going to have for food, for dinner afterwards, physical? There's a lot of things. But what's most important is, God, speak to me. I'm sitting down at a supper with my Lord, and I want what He has for me. He's prepared a meal for me. I'm just the servant. I'm just the one bringing it to you. It's God's choice of food. It's what God has prepared for you. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. And when you come to that table, He knows exactly what kind of nutrients you need today. Amen. Amen. It's not always going to be dessert. Now, most babies, if they had their way, they would say, I want ice cream, I want cake, I want desserts all the time. I want all the things that are easy to eat, taste good. I mean, I'll just... But the parent says, you know, that's not going to help you to develop into the adult that you need to develop into. If you're going to develop physically, then I know that you need all these food groups. And so when you come to church, can I tell you, God wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to develop in your faith. And in doing that, you need to have all these different spiritual food groups. And some of them, you might need to just force yourself to take it in because it's what God says you need today. Amen. That's what it's about. That's the Bible gives us that illustration as feeding the flock of God. And that's what Paul wanted to do. He wanted to feed them as being spiritual. He had spiritual meat for them, and they were not ready for it. They would not receive it. Chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, Paul would say this. Chapter 13 and verse 11. Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I even thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You got to expect children to misbehave from time to time. You can't have the same expectations for children as you do adults. But you can want to see children grow to the place of maturity. And when Paul says, when I was a child, I did these things, meaning when I became a man, I put away those foolish things that I used to speak. Put away those foolish questions. Put away those foolish things as far as who is greater. I had a better understanding. As an infant, babies don't understand what's really going on in life. They don't understand what's going on in the world. But as you get older, you understand more what's taking place and what you have to do to survive in this world and what you have to do to actually accomplish the will of God for your life in this world. You understand that as you mature, you start understanding things that have to be done. Your thinking changes. When you're a child, you think as a child. Most parents make the mistake of thinking that your children know what you know, and they don't. When they want something, it's based upon what they understand. Even teenagers Teenagers do not know what you know. When they want something, it's based upon what they can understand. And their minds have not fully been developed as of yet. And a mature parent understands that and doesn't always give them what they want. But you place in front of them things that they need in order to get to full maturity of mind and body. Jeremiah chapter 3. I love this, and we're almost done. I'm almost done. I just want to share something that Jeremiah presents here, and we're done with this. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Another one of the prophets that God sent to feed the Israel. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Now both of them, the 10 northern tribes, backslidden, 2 southern tribes, treacherous. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say... Now, do you see what's going on? Jeremiah was just the servant. He was just the mouthpiece. It was God who was saying it. Return thou, backslidden Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. That's what they needed to hear. Turn, O backslidden children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will take you one of a city and 2 of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So we find here that God says, I want you to turn to me, and as you turn to me, I'm going to bring pastors into your life. I'm going to bring those into your life who know the Word of God, who can bring to you knowledge and understanding. In the day and age we live in today, listen to me, what we have need of today is godly knowledge, godly wisdom, and understanding that only comes by the knowledge of God. He says, they'll be fruitful. Go over to chapter 23. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, verse 3 and 4. Chapter 23 of Jeremiah, and listen to me here. It says in verse 3 and 4, this is Jeremiah again to the children of Israel. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whether I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. If we are receiving the meat of Scripture, if we are receiving that food that God wants us to have, then the Bible says we can be fruitful. Our lives can have meaning. We can be fruit for God, fruitful. Fruit from the Bible is that which is useful to God. And we can be living our lives as that which is useful to God. We can overcome fear, no more fear. Because God does not give us a spirit of fear. We don't have to be dismayed or confused. Even in the day and age we live in, if you have the spiritual food that God wants you to have, you don't have to be confused. You don't have to be dismayed. And you don't have to be lacking. If you have what God wants you to have, then you can be full. And you can grow and be healthy. Listen to me. It's what God can do. It's what God can do for us. In conclusion, bring it all together. Can I tell you, I like to think of myself as being in shape. I like to think of myself as being strong. It's what I desire my wife to see. I don't let her see me in front of a mirror. You see, when she comes around, I'm... Now, if I could just live that way, my, it'd be good. Just live with holding your breath and taking what's down here and bring it up into your chest. It makes you look like you're muscular. When she comes around, you know, if I'm my arms, I'll tighten that arm up there. That's what I want her to see. But when I close the door to the bathroom and I look in the mirror, I can see reality. My imagination goes back to the good old days, amen, when I had a little bit better physique and I had a little bit more muscle and I didn't have the weight maybe I do now. But that's, I still try to make it look like to her that I still have it. But the mirror reveals all. I wonder if there was a spiritual mirror that we would look into today. It's one thing about what you think of your spiritual life and what you want others to think you to be spiritually. But what would you look like in a spiritual mirror? Can I tell you, that's what God sees? Not how spiritual you think you are. Not how spiritual you want to be. But He sees you just as you are. Do you have a desire for spiritual food? There's no way of being the spiritual man that God wants you to be. There's no way of being the spiritual woman that God wants you to be unless you are feeding on the spiritual meat that God has for you. Do you have a desire for it? The same kind of desire that God has for you. I trust you will have one. Desire to be the spiritual person that God wants you to be. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.